Hello, everybody, and welcome to our podcast, A Life Worth Living, that focuses on people just like you sharing experiences and showing how they create a life worth living, despite and often in spite of their journeys. My name's Keshni, and I'm here with the amazing, wonderful, beautiful Taryn. Hello, Taryn.
Thank you so much, Keshni. I can say the same about you. You're also fantabulous, fantastic.
Oh, thank you. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. I'm doing so great. I'm so happy for our discussion today.
I know, right? I'm also so excited about this because you are going to be like knocked over your feet right now. We are going to be discussing a topic that has an inspiration to it because this topic is normally stigmatized out there, and we are putting a beautiful face, Yoshi is stunning, to this, and she's going to be brave and share her topic with us. And we're talking today about teenage pregnancy and creating a life worth living after teenage pregnancy. And I have the inspirational and beautiful, and I'm going to try and say it right now, Eva Arasani. Welcome.
That's perfect. To my- Well done. Thank you so much for having me. And it's a pleasure and a blessing for me to be on this beautiful platform.
Oh, we are so humbled, you know, because this is not a topic that's spoken about, and yet it impacts so many women and families. And often women go through this and they carry the stigma and the guilt and shame around with them that really prevents them from optimizing their lives. Whereas, you know, you have come through and you have a journey to talk about. So, you know, I'm gonna ask you, Eva, to tell us a little bit about why you want to speak today. Motivated you to take the step to honor us with your presence today around this topic?
Well, thank you very much, Keshni. Did I pronounce your name well?
Yes, you did.
Wonderful. Thank you for having me. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak. Actually, I started speaking about that topic many years ago. I think now it's been about maybe 6 to 7 years. And why? Because before that, I was not ready. Mm-hmm. I was not ready to talk about it. And I even published my first book, which is called New One, New Life, in 2014, if I remember correctly. But in that book, I didn't talk about what happened to me in the past. You see, I talked about Eva afterwards. You see, like Eva, the successful Eva, the happy Eva, but I was not ready to deal
with the boss.
You are too good. I was not ready to talk about Eva, the 14-year-old who fell pregnant at such a young age and who went through so much at a very young age. So it's only a few years ago, like I mentioned, I don't even know if it's been 5 years. Probably I'm going to the 5 years now. It's only, you know, then that I found my purpose. And I realized that, you know, things happen for a reason. And that despite everything we go through, at the moment when we go through those things, we think that it's the end of the world. We think that we feel like we are not going to manage to overcome the situation, you see, when it happens. And when it happens, you feel like, in my case, for example, at 14 years old, I felt like it was 200% my fault. And it was so difficult. And I felt so overwhelmed and I felt so misunderstood. And I felt like I was judged. I actually didn't feel, I knew that I was being judged for what had happened to me. And I was so aware at such a young age of what had happened. And I was scared of the present. I was even more scared of the future, you know, that I tried to commit suicide.
Yeah.
And I remember that day because it hit me back like 20 years later. So it's about 5 years ago when I started doing that introspection that I realized that, wow, I was ready to give up on my life. I was so desperate, you know, and I remember that day very well because it's like something was broken into me, you know. It's like, it's not like actually something broke into me. I felt like sometimes, you know, when you are in a situation, people will treat animals even better than human beings. And I felt like I was less than a human being for a mistake that I did at a young age. And I remember it was so bad that, you know, I just thought, let me just disappear. Because if I disappear, then not only I will save that unborn child, I will give my mom the space she needs and I will remove the shame. And I will, because the father of the child denied the pregnancy, so I think they would all be better off without me. So I took pills, many pills. I wrote a letter. And then I thought it was going to be the end of me, you know, until I woke up on that hospital bed. And when I opened my eyes, I was like, where am I? Is it hell, heaven? It's cold, you know. And then, no, but, you know, actually, yeah. I laugh at it now. And then I saw a doctor, and then the doctor came to me, and she was so soft, so sweet, so understanding. And then I thought, oh, okay, so not even God wants me. You know, that's how I felt. I felt like, here I am, I tried to end it all, and it doesn't even allow me to go. So I was lost for a moment. And then I heard a voice inside of me. You know, it was, and it came out of nowhere. A voice that told me inside of my heart, Eva, don't worry, you'll make it in life. And you know what? That simple statement, that statement came with so much strength that I felt like I had no choice but to give in and accept blindly that I was going to make it, even if the road, you know, it's like going in a road and there's no light. Like you take a step forward, and every time you take a step forward, then you see the light, but you don't see the next step because it's dark. You see, that's how I felt. But then I decided that, you know, I will take 100% responsibility for what happened. I'm still young. I don't know how I'm going to feed that child because we were very poor at that moment. My mom didn't have a lot of money. We struggled to eat. There were days when we didn't have food. And so imagine, you know, in such a context, raising a new child, a newborn, you know. So I thought, okay. And I was also scared for my life because I was only 14. So I was scared of, you know, what will happen during birth, you know, and all those things. And I still had to go to school. I had all those fears, you know, and then I just decided to give in to that voice. And you know what? That became the foundation. That became my truth. And that became my source of inspiration. That's when, you know, every time someone would insult me or tell me that you're not going to make it or call me names because of what had happened to me and tell me all lots of negative things, I would just remember what the voice told me. And silently, I would repeat in my heart, I will make it in life. I don't know how, but I will. And it was a driving force. You see?
I have like goosebumps. Wow.
I know, it's incredible. But to come, this is just a part of it. To come back to the question you asked me, it started as a very simple story between two teenagers. I came from France, and then because of my parents splitting up and getting separated, we had to leave France and go back to Gabon, where I am from, because I'm from Gabon. So I'm Gabonese, you know, by my citizenship, my nationality is Gabonese, but I've lived in many countries because my father was a diplomat. So I've been in contact with many cultures. Like, I went to Canada, I went to the United States, to New York. I lived most of my childhood in France, more precisely in Paris. And I've been to, actually I've been to the United States of, I've been to some Arabic countries as well, but I can't remember which one because I was too young. But my dad was a Muslim, so I don't really remember that part of my life because I was very young. But my mom is Catholic. So when they split up, we went back to Gabon, and you can imagine the difference in cultures, you know. And because of what happened at home, you know, I was coming from a broken home now. I was trying to fit in and create my own, you know, like my own universe at school, you see. And I realized that I had something like that, you know, everyone would say I'm beautiful and stuff. And then I thought, maybe even if at home nothing is working, but maybe at school I can have, you know, a break and, you know, have a life, you see, kind of a life. And that was my mistake, because then something happened. The most popular guy, you know, in high school told me that I was beautiful and that he wanted to be with me and stuff. And for 6 months we just dated, you know, and we liked being together. Until one of his friends asked us if we had done it, you see, and that's when everything changed, and that's when it started. And the moment we did it, I fell pregnant. I didn't even know that I was pregnant until 4 months old. Can you imagine? And that's when things started to fall apart. So basically, when my mom found out, everyone found out, she wanted to meet the boy, and naturally he denied the pregnancy, and his parents called me names. They called my mom irresponsible mother, and it was so ugly, like really you can't imagine. And what I explained to you earlier that happened to me, happened after we had a conversation with his mom and with himself, when the mom said that she called me names and she said, I'm sure this is not my son's child. And she was insulting my mom. And then I spoke to him and he said, no, but nothing proves me that this is my child. So come on, just drop it. So you can now imagine my state of mind at that moment, because looking at them talking to us like that and seeing my mom going through so much shame because of me, you know, that's when it hit me. And I just thought, no, because I love my mom, and seeing her like this because of something I did, just, you know, it really hurt me, because I was not a bad girl. It's just, I was trying to fit in and I made a mistake. It was a bad choice. And I was so naive. I didn't even check out, you know, I was so naive and coming from a different culture and trying to find my marks. It was very hard. So, it was really hard, really, really hard. And I will just fast forward. Then came the moment to give birth. It was very difficult. I almost died because I fainted during the labor, because I was in labor for the whole day from 7 until 8 at night, from 7 in the morning until 8 at night. And I fainted during the labor, and the nurse had to climb on my tummy to push for me. Can you imagine? So, but God was good, because I managed. The baby was born very well. She was such an angel. I loved her from the first moment I saw her. When I saw her, she gave me the strength that I needed. Because then I thought, now I have another reason to fight and to make it in life. And she became my source. She became my reason to fight, you know. And from that moment, I took 100% responsibility for what had happened to me. And instead of blaming others, I decided to take my, you know, to do something about my life. So luckily, my mom helped me a lot. I went back to school. Actually, never stopped school, actually, because while I was pregnant, I was in grade 10, I think. And I finished that year and I passed. And then, I did. And then... thank you. But you see, the thing is, I understood that my only way for success was school. Education is very important. And it was the key to my success. So then I thought, I have to give it my best shot. And fast forward, I got my matric. And then I went to university in Gabon. And I attended 2 years of university in Gabon. But then on the third year, there was a big strike. And they declared the year blank. I don't know if you know what it means. It's when the year is not validated. So it means
like this year.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Yes. Yes. So now imagine coming from so far, and I was that close, and I was like, no way, I'm going to lose 1 year of my life. And I didn't have any degrees yet, because it was I was going to the third year. And when that happened, that's the time when I met my husband, but he was like he was like my boyfriend at the time, boyfriend. You know, and yes, exactly. And also the first and only father that my daughter met. Mm. And we decided that we're not going to waste time. So we looked for a job and we started saving money to go abroad. And we found a job, we saved enough money. And then despite the fact that they offered us like a permanent job, a permanent position where we were, we said no, because we had a vision. And we thought, no, we deserve more out of life. So let's go, and start that adventure abroad and see what, you know, life has in store for us. So the following year, we left Gabon and I had to leave my child behind because, you know, I was coming to a foreign country and I didn't know what to expect. So that's when we came to South Africa. And fast forward, I had to start over again at university because they didn't acknowledge the years that I did in my country. So imagine starting in first year with, you know, like 17-year-olds, 18-year-olds, and I was already like 21 or 22, you see? So I started from scratch. And but you know what? That never stopped me because I thought, I'm here to succeed. And I will succeed. And
Eva, can I just say, you are a warrior. Wow. you are such a warrior of life. And, you know, I would even say, you know, death, any kind of challenge, you just overcome it. You're very inspirational, Eva. I guess, the question that I have, you spoke of this voice that you had inside you. What do you think, I guess, that voice is? I mean, some people would interpret it as, you know, that's, you know, God. Or, you know, is it your spirit? Have you named it actually, or like, you know?
Yes, I've named it. I love
Oh, fantastic.
Question. No, thanks. It's God. It was God talking. And you know, everyone who knows me knows that everything I am is because of what God has done for me. And you know, at the beginning of the show, I said, I have a purpose. And I understood later on that, you know, even if everything I went through was so hard, I almost died and then came back and then went through everything I went through, I saw everything as a rite of passage. Because you see, the thing is, why me? I'm not a princess or a queen. I'm not, you know, the most beautiful woman in the whole world. I don't have a PhD. I have a honors degree. You see, like, why me out of so many exceptional women? Because he wanted me to go through what I went through so that I can later on put myself in the shoes of girls going through the same situation. Because the thing is, it's so easy for people to say, I understand what you are going through. I feel for you. I hear you. But the truth of the matter is, no one can really, really understand what you went through unless you've also went through it. And I understand it better now that I'm in my position as a director of that nonprofit organization that I started 3 years ago, that's called She Phoenix, Femme Phoenix. It is an organization that is advocating for teenage moms' rights, that is trying to help teenage mothers get back to school, that is trying to empower them through religion, personal development, and entrepreneurship. Who would be better suited to coach them than someone who has gone through exactly the same thing? Because the thing is, you know, when you go through something like that, it's so, you know, I can't even explain. I told you earlier, you feel like even animals are treated better. You know, you feel less than an animal. You feel judged by everyone. You feel like you have become, like you are garbage. Like you have, you know, nobody will ever look at you, but look at me. I'm telling you, God is the one who talked to me. That voice, and you know, I will add that our heart is a special place because we are made in God's image. Our heart is His temple, and everything that comes from the heart is pure. Everything that comes from the mind is different because it goes through a process. But what comes raw and pure comes from God. And that you can't, you know, even if you have 1,000 thoughts going through your mind, when you hear that voice, you will know that this is from God. So to answer your question, it's God. And I will repeat it until I die, you know.
Thank you, Eva. So yeah, that was great. I mean, what I'm seeing here is amazing. I've written down a few things. Like, and for me, it's almost like your story speaks of, it's only in darkness that you can see the light, you know, because if you shine light into light, it doesn't shine. And the power of setting goals and having hope. Your whole story stems from this, I know I'm destined for greater. I know I have a purpose. I know that I will do better. I know I'm meant for greatness. And I think that is so important because there's many people out there listening to you. They might not have experienced teenage pregnancy, but they might have experienced perhaps, you know, disconnection from family, a mom who didn't love them, a dad who treated them badly. And they would feel that same sort of isolation and devastation and feeling like that nobody cares. So my question to you is, you know, there might be a 14-year-old, 15-year-old, 16-year-old, 12-year-old girl right now listening to this, who has just found out that she's pregnant. And she's saying to herself, yeah, you made it, but exactly the question you asked, why me? Why will this same thing happen to me? What would be your piece of advice and your message to her right now as she listens to you?
Wow, that's a loaded question. That's a really loaded question, but
that's
I like it. Yes, I got it. Wow. You know what? I would say, breathe in, breathe out. That happened, but it doesn't mean that it's the end of the world. And if I did it when I was 14 and I had no money, no one, even my mom. My mom gave me the beating of my life, I can tell you. I remember that day when she found out, you know. So, but despite of that, she never gave up on me. And I will forever be in her debt, because I don't think I would have managed without her, because you need a support system. Yeah. So I would say to her, don't panic. It happened. Now you have to think of, what do I do next? And I would say that this is exactly the reason why I started the organization that I've done, so that, you know, they can reach out to someone who can talk to them and give them some advice on, you know, like, if, you know, just be a bit more rational and don't listen to your emotions, because at that moment you can do the worst thing. And the other thing is, I know for a fact now that suicide is never the solution. And I will tell you why. Imagine if my attempt had been successful, I would be 6 feet under and even my bones would not be here anymore, because I would be dust, because it happened like, what, 25 years ago, imagine. Now, look at my life now. Let me tell you, I am married to the most wonderful man. He's just, for me, I thank God every day, because I see him as a gift, the gift that God gave me, and I'm his gift, you know, I'm the gift that gave God to him. Mm-hmm. I'm happy every single day of my life. I wake up listening to birds singing. I wake up looking at the blue sky. I look at my three children. My firstborn is now turning 25 this year. Mm-hmm. She's doing a master's degree in one of the best universities.
Oh, congrats.
Well done, Mama.
I know. I can't believe it. And guess what? She's also engaged.
Wow.
She's engaged.
Oh, and
it's just amazing. It's just amazing. And the other thing is, I used to work full time. Now I've been working for myself for like 4 years. I'm a very successful entrepreneur. My company is a global company working with different countries in the world. My husband is working as a diplomat somewhere in an organization. We are owners. We have our first house. We have our car. What I'm saying, why am I saying all those things, is to show you that at the moment when it happens, you feel like it's the end of the world. You feel like, okay, there's no solution. The thing is, there is always a solution. It's just that that solution is always the hardest, because you can't take shortcuts. You have to go through your rite of passage, but knowing that deep inside of you, you have the right stuff. God gave you the right stuff. You have everything you need to survive, you know, unless you decide otherwise. It's everything. Everything starts with a decision, you see. So I would say to her, don't give up. Don't worry. You are not the first one. You'll probably, unfortunately, not be the last one. Just reach out to someone, to your parents first, especially your mom. And then if it really doesn't work out, because some parents throw their kids away, like out of the house, then reach out to organizations who can help you. And I will share my details, but my organization is taking care of teenage moms. We give them support. at the moment we don't have any haven, you know, like any place where we can stay or something, but we are providing them with coaching. And let me tell you, coaching is, wow. It makes a big difference. It makes a big difference. And also, I'm thinking that, you know, maybe we can go and also talk to the parents and convince them, you know, to understand that, okay, it's not the end of the world. And one of our hashtags is teenage pregnancy is not a dead end. Because
that's beautiful.
I also think it is beautiful because I use my story as a proof, living proof that it is not a dead end. Otherwise, I wouldn't be where I am. And today, I'm a very respectful woman. I'm a successful woman. I'm a happy woman. I am married. I'm everything I never thought I would be. So it shows that it is possible to overcome teenage pregnancy. It is possible.
It is. Eva, I just got a question, and, you know, please forgive me. I mean, I, you know, I'm pro-female, pro-woman, pro-girl. My question is, obviously it takes two to tango. And, you know, I know some people say, you know, there's one person in a pregnancy, but I do think there is two, because it took two people to make a pregnancy. What kind of information would you give to a teen father?
Oh, I love your question. Very loaded too. Okay, so thank you for that. Because, you know, part of the message that I'm trying to communicate is that parents need to groom their sons, you know, to be more like gentlemen and to respect women and girls. So we boys need to understand that when we date a girl, first of all, now I would say, don't have sex at a young age, because first of all, it will not be like they think it will be, because in movies they show it as if, you know, it's that fantastic, beautiful, amazing experience, you know, like magical. And in reality, it's not. For me, it was not. Like, I regretted it, you know, like I was like, what did I do now? What, why? You know, just to fit in. And they have to understand that they must treat their lady, their girl, with respect and love, you know, and that if you are really, you know, if you feel that you're really good for each other, wait, grow together, get to know each other better. Like, you see, now I've been with my husband we've been married for 10 years. We celebrated our 10th year anniversary last year, December. Thank you.
Congrats.
Thank you so much. And before that, we were just, you know, like living together. But you see, the fact that we've been together for we've known each other since 2001, so it's almost 19 years. The fact that we've grown together, you know, we have history, it makes it even better. Because we had our challenges, but we grew together. You see what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I think that it is something that is missing nowadays in couples. You know, and when there's a problem, people run away because they are not ready to communicate. They are not ready to make the effort, the extra effort. They are not going to go the extra mile. You know, they are not ready to meet the other person halfway, you see. So there's a lot that needs to be taught to boys, and they need to be groomed. But the main message will be, if you find yourself in a situation like the one you are describing now, don't run away. Be a man. Even if you're a boy, just be the man you can be. Because, you know, you will never live with yourself after doing something like that. I just picture this, that your denial might cause another girl to die. How do you live with that? How? Knowing that just because you were scared to take your responsibilities, now another girl had to bear all the weight on her shoulders alone. when, like you said, Torini takes two to do the tango. It's unfair. It's really unfair. And then he would move on with his life while she would be buried 6 feet under. So I want boys to understand that there's nothing to be scared about. If they have to be beaten up, well, it will happen. But the thing is, it happened. They did something, you know? Although I'm against that beating. Parents should not beat up their children. I'm really against that. Really. So just so that I put it clearly, I don't beat up my children. I speak to them.
It's I'm fine, Eva.
No, really, because, you know,
it's
I think
fine.
That's...
We're not going to send child protected services there. We believe you.
I'm just telling you, like, really, I think that and parents have to be more understanding. Yeah. And they have to create a relationship where the children feel comfortable to come to them with anything. And yes. The other thing is parents also have to understand that when they have boys, things can happen, you know, just like girls, but they must be the bigger man, if you want, and say, okay, let's see it through. Is it your child? Not? Well, let's make sure we don't make a mistake, okay? But let's not run away, because what are you teaching him? Run away? He will be running away for the rest of his life.
That's so true.
You see,
that's so true. And it, I guess this your same quotes, it won't be the end of the his life, and it won't be the end of the world for him as well. Mm. You know, I think that's also a huge stigma, is that a child coming into this earth is not the end of anyone's life.
Exactly.
Or world.
Yes, and I agree, because you see, the other thing that I've learned is that it's not the child's fault. You know, like the circumstances of a birth are beyond the child. So it means that we should celebrate a child, whatever circumstances the child comes, you know. And then a support system has to be there for the young parents. Because, you know, like, either we accept it or not, it's a reality. So the sooner we accept the reality, the sooner we move on and we find a solution. But the problem is, too often we stick to, you know, like what happened instead of, okay, what is going to happen next? You see, like, what do we do? Should we, I don't know. You see what I mean? So
yeah. Look, I think it's also important, and you you show this beautifully, that even after your pregnancy and after you found out that you were pregnant and after all these doors were shutting and you were called names, you allowed yourself to grieve and to feel bad. And I think that's important to whoever's listening, to say, both parents and children, it is normal for you to feel like your world is falling apart. It is normal for you to feel like you have no future. But understand that there are options. There is hope. There are people
exactly.
who have walked this journey, who are going to be able to take your hand, moms, dads, children, and lead you to a place mm-hmm. where at least you will have more clarity with the possibility mm-hmm. of coming, instead of making rash decisions. I mean, yours is a perfect journey and story, that what happened to you in the past does not define who you will be in your future.
Exactly.
And that is key. What happened to you in your past does not define who you are in the future. So
and
you acknowledge and accept. And then,
that's so true. And I, you know, I came up with a saying, we all have a past, but how it influences our present and our future is up to us. And that saying has defined me now.
I love that. I love that.
I love it.
I spoke to you for like ever and ever, because it's a loaded question. And we need to come back, because we need to talk to you about the trauma associated. And, you know, we would love to have you back. But we, you know, we're running out of time, so I
okay,
want
no.
no.
I hate it when this happens. Like, I'm
yes,
sure
but I think
has to be 24 hours. But
no,
I want.
But I think that it's wonderful. I think everything has been covered. So the whole purpose is to give hope, and that's what I'm doing now through my organization.
But I want to know from you before we go. Give us your digits. Give us your email address. Say the organization's name again.
Okay. Okay.
Very important. Important as well to know that it's not only a place for them to maybe reach out if this is happening, but hey, moms, dads, kids, reach out if it's about to happen. Reach out.
Yes. Right? Now, what you say is true, because we have a comprehensive approach that is trying to prevent teenage pregnancy, and that is also catering for teenage moms, you know, and also, you know, just to make sure that everyone actually is catered for. So the name of my organization is She Phoenix, Femme Phoenix.
Nice.
And we have a Facebook page. So you just type She Phoenix, Femme Phoenix. And Femme is like in French, F-E-M-M-E. So She Phoenix, Femme Phoenix. We have a Facebook group. We have a closed Facebook group also for all the girls that we are coaching. And at the moment, I think to date, we have touched about 200 lives or more. I can't remember.
Wow.
Now. But yes, and not just in South Africa, like all over Africa, in many African countries, because of the programs that we are running. And even during COVID-19, we had programs running, you know, and it went very successfully online.
Wow. So that's basically 400 lives if you include the, you know, the baby, the fetus, you know, because indirectly you'll be also touching their lives.
No, but at least the fact is they are not all teen moms. Like I said, we are also helping young girls in prevention. So we are coaching them already so that, you know, they don't fall into that. And the other thing is on Twitter, you can also find us. I think it's NPC. Sorry, now I can't even remember the Twitter account.
Okay. What we'll do, but we'll into our message.
Yes, you can do that. Otherwise, if you just type Eva Arisani on Google, on Instagram, on Twitter, on Facebook, you should find my page as well.
Okay.
And probably soon to be Wiki. Eva, I just want to ask one last question. I was doing some stalking on your Facebook, and I see that you guys did some important like community work in Soweto. I just
That's
wanted
correct.
To know, is there going to be another event coming up like that?
I don't know yet, because we've done one at the beginning of the year. It was before COVID-19 showed up. It was in Lenasia South in Johannesburg. And then the one that you are talking about in Soweto, I don't know, because it takes a lot of preparation. And but I'm hoping to do a last one before the end of the year, but we will see how it goes. But you see, that's also part of the program that we do, because most of the girls we cater for are very poor and they need help. So what I do is I collect clothes from the church and from, you know, parents who have children, because it's for them and for the children as well, their children as well. And then I ask, and She Phoenix, Femme Phoenix relies 100% on donations. So personally, I donate quite a lot, but you see, the thing is, you have to show by example. You have to lead by example. So if I ask someone to donate, then I must be able to donate, you know. So every month, I see it as my gift to God, you know. So I donate something out of my salary. And we are also sponsoring some girls. So some of them will go back to school next year. And so currently we've started a challenge, a 4-day challenge on entrepreneurship. And the girls are being coached by myself and a business coach from the UK, who is also a sponsor to the girls. And the winners of the challenge will get a small capital to start a business, because we don't believe in handouts. We believe in teaching how to fish. But now She Phoenix is going to fund, you know, that business. And that's why I've been asking for donations, because we receive donations for, you know, bursaries, but I need some other donations so I can also, you see, give to those girls to start a business so they can get money and they don't need to go prostitute themselves or rely on someone else. Or you know what, you know how life is sometimes.
Yeah.
But if they can at least buy milk and nappies and things like that. So that's why usually I make that post where I said, please, we need your help. Help us restore lives one girl at a time. Please be a sponsor. Beautiful. Please donate, you know, because we are really trying to raise those girls and, you know, like make them a bit self-reliant so that they can buy their, you know, their pads and nappies and milk and have something to eat, you know. And yeah, and it's very difficult, you know, to say no when they ask for money, because I say no. No, you have to learn. You have to learn how to fish. And you might see that I'm very strong, very strict. But believe me, in a few years' time, you will thank me, because then you will be independent and you will manage to raise your own family, you know, without relying on anyone.
That's beautiful.
Well, I am so amazed. You know what? 100 handouts is not as wonderful as 3 steps up, right? So that's what you're offering, a great step up here. And so we are so grateful that you have
come to
the show, that we can share your message, that our connections out there, yes, you know who you are listening to this, so that they can also get back in glorious ways to your passion and your purpose. And thank you for the essence of you.
Thank you.
Thank you for sharing.
Merci beaucoup. Merci beaucoup.
De rien, de rien. Merci. Thank you for having me.
You're so welcome. And we'll chat to you soon.
Thank you, Eva.
Bye
bye. Love you lots.
Bye. Love you lots too.
Bye, Cash. Bye. Thank you.